concept of two covenants, which was expressed by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, but they made one mistake. Instead of emphasizing the two covenants, they should emphasize the two levels of one covenant, the covenant of faith, not the covenant of faith. In other words, the covenant of faith should not be mentioned altogether, but just the covenant of faith. But there are two levels in the covenant of faith, because covenant of faith expresses the idea that there is one destiny for all Jews, Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, and that he is emphasizing another point that was not spelled out by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, that the covenant of faith implies not only that every Jew as an individual shares the same destiny of any other Jew, but every movement in the Jewish people, Reform movement, Reconstructionist movement, I don't understand why it doesn't mention Jews for Jesus. I don't understand. Every movement is entitled to recognition and to dignity as a movement. So the movement of Jews for Jesus are also entitled. As a matter of fact, in the same paper, I read a statement by the head of the Reconstructionist movement. I don't know her name, but curiously, but not coincidentally, she happens to be a lady. I don't remember her name. So she criticized the Stavros HaRabbonim as to why they did not include her in the statement too. She's the head of the Reconstructionism. She's right. She's right. 100%. She has a good case. Why isn't she entitled to the same recognition as the head of the Reform movement, as the head of the Conservative movement? It's discriminatory. It's not democratic. She's right. And in my opinion, if the head of the Reform movement is entitled, so the head of Jews for Jesus is also entitled. We have to draw the conclusions of these premises that upset me more than anything else, because many an ignorant reader of this newspaper will get the impression that my brother the Rav is behind this idea of collaboration with the Reform movement and the Conservative movement, and because of that I feel impelled by the mitzvah of Yechiyach Techiyach HaFamisecho, and I don't want to commit the same mistake that was committed by Kamtze. Kamtze wants to be a gentleman. Not to say, it's not nice. After all, he's not obligated to invite me. He didn't commit any avera, but he harbored a grudge against him. I don't want to harbor a grievance against his talents. I am part of you! And I want to mention it. And then I want to elaborate on my brother's hashkofe of the two covenants. This is Tiras Emes, but it was misconstrued and abused by the statement that was issued by the Stavros HaRabbonim together with the Reform movement and the Conservative movement. Of course there are two covenants. There is a covenant of faith and there is a covenant of faith. The covenant of faith is the Bris Rishonim that is based upon the Kabbalah Seir Malchu Shamayim. The covenant of faith is part of the Bris Aveis. Now the Pasuk says in Rekesai, V'zocharti es Bris Yaakov, V'afes Bris Yitzchok, V'afes Bris Avraham, Eskeir, V'Oretz Eskeir. So the Teres Kiyom says, V'Oretz Eskeir, Milani Shebris Chuso Oretz. The Bris Oveis is the covenant of faith. The Bris Rishayim is the covenant of faith. How is the Bris Oveis a covenant of faith? Because the Pasuk says, the Zohar tells Pris Yaakov, the Avos Pris Yitzchok, the Avos Pris Avraham Esker, the Oros Esker. How come the Torah mentions Esker in connection with Pris Yaakov? The Torah mentions Esker in connection with Pris Avraham, but the Torah does not mention Esker in connection with Pris Yitzchok. The Zohar tells Pris Yaakov, the Avos Pris Yitzchok, but not the Avos Pris Yitzchok Esker. The Avos Pris Avraham Esker, the Oros Esker. So Rashi, that's also coming to Esker, says, Avon Yitzchok, Mehuskova Esker, Mish Afri Shel Yitzchok, Sobo Al Gabi HaMizbeach. In other words, a covenant is a contract. There are two kinds of contracts. There is a contract, a bilateral contract. Bilateral contract means the two parties make promises. One party makes a promise to do one thing, and the other party makes a promise to do the other thing. And then there is a unilateral contract. And sometimes, so, the Bris Avraham is a unilateral, is a bilateral contract. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shlomo promises to redeem us. But every contract, every student of law knows, has to have consideration. What is the consideration for the Bris Avraham? The consideration consists in the children of Avraham walking in the footsteps of Avraham. Not that the Bein Shom expects the children of Avraham to be like Avraham, but to have a mitzvah of the maisim of Avraham. But if Jews don't live up to the Derech Avraham, Chidati from Anashim Tzavet, Bonoget Beisei, Bishom Wachov, Derech Hashem Wasit Stoko Mishpot. So then, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is a bond. The Bris Yaakov is also a bilateral contract. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shlomo established the covenant of Yaakov that he will protect his children. But it has consideration. What is the consideration? If the children will walk in the footsteps of Yaakov. But Yitzchok, so it's not a bilateral contract. What is the consideration? The consideration of the crematorium, the gas chambers, in order to demand of the Rebbeinu Shlomo that he should fulfill his promise. In the Bris of Yitzchok, we don't have to show performance. We don't have to show performance. We only have to point out that you suffered. Then we have to point out the ether that is Sobor al Gabi HaMizbeach. This is what my brother meant, the covenant of faith. Because all Jews share the same destiny. Hitler Yimach Shmei, it's true. Hitler Yimach Shmei, sent to the gas chambers, Orthodox Jews, Reformed Jews, assimilated Jews, communists, Buddhists, everybody. But the other conclusion, that this rabbi draws, this covenant of faith implies not only that every Jew is to be recognized as a Jew, that's true. Yisrael Afo Pishachot Yisrael. Reb Chaim was Michal in Kippur to save the life of a Bendis. And I am declaring, I'm not like my grandfather Reb Chaim, but as much as I abhor the approach of certain reform rabbis and certain conservative rabbis, I am ready to risk my life to save the life of the leaders of the reform movement. As individuals, yes, they are entitled to recognition as human beings and even as Jews. Yisrael Afo Pishachot Yisrael. But movement should be entitled to recognition. And if I don't like to explain doubts, I think it's absurd, preposterous to explain the Holocaust, because even though we are mamid, me mamid, and we believe that everything has a purpose, but the purpose of the Holocaust, like the purpose of the Chum Vaishvishim, like the purpose of the Chum Vaishemi, are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human mind. And even in Eis HaMashiach, we won't be able to understand the purpose of the Holocaust. Only Lachat Chiyas HaMashim, in the end of the days, then we'll be able to understand the purpose of Tzadik Yirale, but not now. I don't apply it to explain the Holocaust. And because of that, whenever I read there is a discussion about the Holocaust, I become very upset. Because when somebody discusses the Holocaust, so there are two alternatives. Either he'll be Mechari from Gavi, as it usually happens, or he'll say silly things, silly statements, sometimes an orthodox rov tries to explain the Holocaust. So he says preposterous things. There is no way how to explain it. But since Rabbonim are pointing out as the remnants in the Holocaust that there is a covenant of faith, and some rabbis who call themselves Orthodox have the chutzpah to say that this concept of two covenants, which was enunciated by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, implies it more than Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik meant, that not only that Jews as individuals have to be recognized as Jews, but every movement has to be recognized as an important movement, and we should call dignity the movement. So I am going to find Rimozi in the Holocaust. I don't like to do it. It's true that Hitler, Yimach Shmei, sent to the Kamatoria assimilated Jews, reformed Jews, atheistic Jews, everybody. But there is one incident, the pirate, when the Nazis occupied Warsaw. So they visited the home of Professor Meir Balaban. I know Meir Balaban because Professor Meir Balaban, he was not Mishawan. He was not. He didn't have our Hashkafet. But he was a great person, Professor Meir Balaban. Professor Meir Balaban was my father's house many times. So I remember him as a child. And they told Professor Meir Balaban to do research and to determine as to whether the Karaites, the Nazis had a few thousand Karaites in their custody. So they wanted Meir Balaban to determine whether they are Jewish or they're not Jewish. Of course it goes without saying, one does not have to be historian. I'm not historian, but every Hebrew child knows that the Karaites are Jewish. They're Jewish! Kavoyim! They're Jewish! They're Zdukim! But they're Jewish! So he wrote the whole pamphlet. And there he tried to show basis of amazing for spurious historical data. He did it deliberately. He wanted to spare them, to spare them. He did a wonderful thing. I would have done the same thing. Why not save them? Why not? You should let him clap. He killed as many Jews as he can. So he deliberately drafted a historical paper in which he showed through spurious data that they're not Jews, and they were spared. Now, I don't like to find remorse in the Holocaust, but since this rabbi is finding a remorse in the Holocaust, to his idea that the covenant of faith implies that all movements in Jewry are entitled to recognition and as important contributors to the future of Judaism, then I'll also find the remedy. How is it that the Hashgacha manipulated the dark and the color I should be spared? The Gerach Hasidim were not spared. The Gerach Hasidim were not spared. The Yeshiva Bahamim are not spared. The Jewish children of the Cheder are not spared. Who was spared? Who was spared? And atheistic Jews as individuals were not spared either. But who was spared? Reform Jews as a movement was spared. And if you want to find the remnants in the Holocaust, so that should be remnants. That while the covenant of faith implies that, that every Jew has to be recognized, not only as a human being, but as a Jew. And the one is mechuyev to risk his life to save the life of the leader of the reform movement. Even if I had to risk my life to save the life of that giant reform rabbi who was rebuking his colleagues for having a negative attitude towards the gay people, I would risk my life. But as a movement, chas v'sholem, as a movement that we should recognize. Now the Rambam is the one who says that the overwhelming majority of the Karaites do not have the din of Numer, and we have to show them brotherhood and generosity like to any other Jew, because the Atil Shenishbo, still the Rambam says in Perikalat Nirkas Adidas Yim HaKippurim Halocha Zayin B'nei Balishemi Tzotzaminus B'Yisrael ויוצא הצדוקים מהירו יבדו, שאין אמנים מתירה שבעל פה, ויועים גרים שכתירה של יום הכיפורים, מניחים איסו על האיש, בהיר חלחוץ ולפריכס, וכשיהיה לראשנו, מכניס איסו ולפנים לגיליש הקדושים. So the Rambam, who says that we have to show brotherhood to all the Karaites, because except for the leaders, but most of them, Atil Shenishbo, how is it that he says Meheira Yebedo? The answer is, if it's a question of a Tzduki as an individual, we have to show him killed. But Tzduki as a movement, Meheira Yebedo! And I am not that type of Ikanoi who curse a human being. It's a terrible thing to curse. And I want to mention a tshuva that I read in the Torah journal in Israel, I don't remember the name, years ago, a tshuva from the Avni Meizer to a certain Hasidic Rebbe who was a Bikanoi. So that Hasidic Rebbe in his letter to the Avni Meizer referred to a certain Shume Yimach Shmel. So the Avni Meizer recommended it and said, how do you say Yimach Shmel even to the Shume? You see, there's a positive in Torah that if one dies and is not survived by children, so then his brother has to marry his wife. But and still most Rishonim say that even if the deceased brother is in Shumet, is a Numer, you steal it, then he still is a kid. But you say Yimach Shmei? You say Yimach Shmei in respect to Shumet? Here the Torah says he has to marry his wife in order to Yimoche Shmei Yisrael, even though he's in Shumet. And you say Yimach Shmei respect to Shumet, but here the Rambam says Meheira Yebedo. The answer is, the Rambam says Meheira Yebedo is a movement. And the Sfardim who say in the Birkas Lanashim Yechol Amin Kerebe Yebedo Chas V'Sholem, that they mean to curse the man, they mean to curse the movement. So how can we say, how can one say that the covenant of faith implies that reformed Jews are entitled to recognition and to dignity, not only as individuals, but as a movement, chas v'sholem. And she mentions it in conjunction with the sublime thought that was enunciated by my brother, I'm upset. And this is why I speak out against it. And then I would like to say something else. I think that Mr. Rabban has to live up to the mandate that is incumbent upon him. Right now, the Reform rabbis are not fighting for equality. This is a deceptive trick by the former right. They are not fighting for equality. They are trying to gain control over everything. They are trying to destroy the Rabbanut Toroshit under the guise of democracy and equality and pluralistic society. Now, you have the best right. The Reform rabbis, conservative rabbis, they all speak in glorification of pluralistic society. How come that the Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis prevailed upon the leadership of the Jewish agency to require a loyalty pledge as a prerequisite for any money for a mission? Now, I'm not a member of Mitoy County, and I'm not identified with Mitoy County. In Yeshiva's Brisk, the Israeli flag is displayed all days of the year, not after the Matzah. And I, in Yeshiva's Brisk, and all the time, we say, how are you out of the bar? And we don't say that. I'm not a member of Mitoy County. But the chutzpah to require that every yeshiva that gets money from the agency, from the UJA money that is raised for institutions or educational institutions, not for Zionism, should make a pledge of loyalty to Zionism, and that they should undertake to display the Israeli flag on Yom HaTzmaut and to sing Atikvah. Now, the prayers of Yeshiva's Brisk, we also sing Atikvah. But one change. I don't like the sentence, Leis Am Chofshi. So instead of Leis Am Chofshi, we say Leis Am Kodesh. And at one convention years ago, I said there is nothing wrong with Atikvah, except that this sentence, Leis Am Chofshi, is a repugnant expression. And one Rabbi Kanoi, who went to Shul Shamayim, became so aroused that not only did he walk out of the convention in protest, but he tried to prevail upon many other rabbonim to walk out in protest against the terrible statement I made that there is nothing wrong in Atikvah except the one repugnant expression, Leis Am Chofshi. But he wasn't successful. No one walked out with him. He had to walk out all by himself. But I am not a Kanoi who is hostile to the Zionistic ideas, but a chutzpah to require a loyalty pledge as a prerequisite for any allocation. And who is demanding it? The Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis. On one hand, the Amar Shilomis about a pluralistic society. On the other hand, any yeshiva that is not ready to make a loyalty pledge should be denied all help. Is that consistent with the idea of a pluralistic society? So why do they make a show of democracy and equality? They are not interested in democracy and equality. And I think that it is incumbent upon the Stavros Rabbonim to live up to the challenge and first to acknowledge the courage shown by the Rosh Yeshivas of the Hezda Yeshivas. They certainly could take this loyalty pledge more than anybody else, but they refused. They acted like Talmidei Chachamim, like courageous Jews, and I think it's incumbent upon the Stavros Rabbonim to condemn this resolution as being repugnant to the Torah. That goes without saying, but not only that it's repugnant to the Torah, it's repugnant to morality, it is repugnant to every concept of democracy, it is repugnant to every concept of decency and fair play. They are trying to destroy Yadus, to destroy the Rabbanut Toroshit. That's all. And let us look at the example shown by the Yirat Shem of the former generations. Now this passage was mentioned in the Unity Message, and this passage was out of place in the Unity Message that was issued by the Stavros Rabbanim together with the leadership of the Reform Movement and the Conservative Movement. But I want to mention what the Eretz Yisrael, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Yehoshua said. Why does the Modi Malachi say, Oz Nibbur Yiri Adishem? He should say, Oz Dibbur Yiri Adishem. Why Nibbur? Nibbur is Nifal. The answer is, so that Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel, the Eretz Yisrael, said that it's not, if we want to have real unity, and that it should be Vayakshif Hashem, so then it's not enough to listen to what the contemporary Yiri Hashem say. Contemporary Yiri Hashem sometimes can make a mistake. The contemporary Yiri Hashem today, for example, when there is a 50th anniversary of Arav Kook, and when some Yiri Hashem, when they are invited to speak about the Rav Kook, they refuse to participate in such a function. Why Rav Kook was not the Yiri Hashem, but they refuse. But the novice says, Oz Nibbur Yiri Hashem. If you want to have real unity, unity in all Israel, so we have to consult, we have to take notice of the way the Yiri Hashem of the daily Sarishayim acted. As a matter of fact, this is the Siyas Yishorim in Perek Chotalev in Shara Kinyoni Achsidus says, V'chein Teir Akriya, he discusses, how can one attain Chassidus? How can one attain Chassidus? So he says, by reading the stories about the burying in the Derech Ofanenu, Bechintenu Hakriya Bisipo Masei Hasidim, Behagodeis, Ashaboshon, Kecholul Meirin Vimesaseichel, Leisyon Tzilasis Kimaseim Hanechmodim. To take notice of the behavior of the Yiri Hashem, of the burying in the Derech Ofanenu. Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel, the Eretz Yisrael said, the Novi says, Oz Nibbur Yiri Hashem, not Oz Nibbur. We have to speak about the Yiri Hashem, the Derech Ofanenu. The Yiri Hashem of the Derech Ofanenu should be spoken of. Then it will be Vayakshif Hashem. Let's take notice how the Yiri Hashem of the Derech Ofanenu acted. In response to this requirement of the loyalty pledge, Josephus mentions in his books that Herodes, when he became King Herod, so he imposed the loyalty pledge upon all the Chachmei Yisrael, that they should pledge loyalty to him. He represented all of Yisrael in those days. Whether you like it or not, he was the king of Israel in those days, whether we like it or not. So he imposed the pledge and he exempted Shammai and Hillel. But the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, he told them that they have to make a loyalty pledge, and if not, so they'll be killed. So 6,000, Josephus mentions, 6,000 Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel told Herodes, you can kill each and every one of us, and we are not going to make a pledge of loyalty to you. We made only one pledge, and that is the Shmuel Dinaim al Sinai. That's the covenant of faith. And this covenant of faith is imminently intertwined with the covenant of faith. Of course, we have to recognize every single Jew, not only as a human being, but even as a Jew. And we have to risk our life to save their lives, but only as individuals, but as a movement. So Arav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchok HaKohen Kook, in the letter, and this is published in the book.